Well, you know, Sister Wright says two things, and only God's wisdom can tell you which one to do. She says when they challenge us sometimes and there's a problem, don't give them any time to organize and get going. Meet it right then. And then she says if they surprise you and you're not ready, then don't meet it until you have time to go home and read and study and pray. So when he stood up in that prayer meeting and challenged me, I said, now I'm not prepared to answer that question tonight, but I will answer it next prayer meeting. Well, I don't know who spread the word. I didn't tell anybody but the prayer meeting people. But the next prayer meeting, my church was full of people, and since Washington Conference is a small conference and you can drive from one end to the other in about an hour and a half, it was full of people from just about every church in the conference, the Washington Conference. And I stood up there, I didn't know much, and I said, the questions on doctrines says one thing. It says that our pioneers, and Ellen G. White, and I read it to you, wasn't there, and we didn't get our doctrines settled for a long time. And I took this book, and I read to them out of the book where she says she met with them right in 1844. She was taken off in vision, and whenever there was a problem or a question, she was shown the answer. And after I'd given the study, I said, now, how many of you are going to go with questions on doctrines? And if I remember correctly, no hands went up. And I said, how many of you are going to go with the spirit of prophecy and the genuine Adventist church? And their hands went up. But you know, I'd forgotten something. One of my members had moved away, and he had requested that they tape record my prayer meetings and send him a copy. So my attack on questions on doctrines was tape recorded. And this doctor that had challenged me, he went and got that tape, and he took it to the conference president the next day, Thursday. And Friday night, my phone rang, and the president said, I just listened to your last prayer meeting. I want to talk to you. Now, Ellen G. White gives us advice, all kinds of advice. She says, sometimes don't get caught off guard and don't go until you're ready. Other times, don't give them a chance. So when he said, I want to talk to you, since he only lived about 20 miles from where I did, I said, I'll be right over to your house. He said, oh, well, no, don't rush. I said, I'm fine. I said, I haven't got anything to do tonight. My sermon's ready for tomorrow. I said, I'll be right over. I wasn't going to give him time. And you always have to keep your eyes and ears and nose open and all the rest. So when I went into his living room, I sat down in the chair. Oh, I said, Brother Bauer, don't sit in that chair. And he says, this is a much more comfortable chair over here. Why would he do that? Okay, that was a warning to me. I went and sat in the chair, and then I looked around, and he had a mic here. But you couldn't see it very well. So I let him do all the talking for about an hour and a half. And when he finally ran down, I said, well, is that it, brother? And I hadn't opened my mouth, said hardly a word. And he had told me, you can't preach on this text, and you can't preach on this topic, and you can't do that, Brother Bauer. You've got to go along with the questions on doctrines. And he said, you oppose questions on doctrines. And he says, I'm one of the men that gave my okay to it. And I said, did you read it before you okayed it? He said, no. I said, then why did you okay it? Well, brother, you got to trust the brethren. He said, I just trusted that they'd done a good job and okayed it. So when they tell you 230 preachers okayed it that they'd sent the manuscript to, probably most of them didn't read it before they okayed it. They were like my conference president. Anyway, when I got to the door, and he couldn't record what I was saying, then when I had my conversation, he went straight to the Union Conference Committee and asked them to fire me. The only reason he had to go to the Union Conference Committee to get me fired was, you know, God's in charge. You don't have to worry a thing about a thing when you're working for God. This man had such a bad record when he was president down in the Texas Conference that they were screaming to get rid of him down there, and the pastors were quitting. I mean, they were just quitting. He was so ornery. And so they moved him from Texas to Washington Conference. And the conference, the Union Conference Committee, gave him a little bit of instruction. They said, now your record in Texas, I don't know what word they used, but probably stinks. So you can't discipline any preachers in your conference. You can't fire anybody without presenting it to the Union Conference Committee first. So he couldn't wait till he got down to the Union Conference Committee to ask him to fire me. And he asked him, and they smiled at him, and they said, you're new up here. Brother Bauer's been here for 8-9 years. He's done a good job. He's preached at our camp meetings and everything. If he's made a little mistake, we're paying you to straighten him out. Now go up there and straighten him out. Poor man. You know, I'll tell you one thing, friend. I have learned one thing in my life. God is in charge and not the conference presidents or the general conference or the U.S. government or the U.N. or anybody else. And you go to work for God and you put yourself in God's hands and He knows what's going to happen and He can take care of it, friends, ahead of time. He can cancel all the devil's plans, can't he? So we should go out fearlessly and do the Lord's work. Well, I could tell you I'll tell you one more amusing story. I moved from Washington Conference down to Nevada Utah Conference. Now, and when I was in Washington Conference, I had gone to the secretary of the GC Beach, and I had told him, I don't have to go by this book until you submit it to the general conference in session and they okay it. I happen to know that they hadn't even submitted it to the GC committee. And I said, the GC is meeting next month. If they okay this book, I'll go along with it. If they don't okay it, I don't have to go along with it. You know what Beach told me? We would never submit it to the GC committee. I said, why not? We don't know whether they would approve it or condemn it. So this is a book, friends, that's never been submitted to the GC for approval. It's not binding. Stand up for God, friends. Don't say, hey, I can't do anything or I'm not important. You're important, friends, when you stand up for God and you're working for God. If you're not doing that, you aren't important. We've got a great work to do, friends. We've got to give the loud cry and the final warning. The Seventh-day Adventist organization today cannot do that job. I'm not saying they will not do it. I said they can't do it because they would be condemning themselves. Now, have faith in God and trust in God. God started us on a solid, immovable platform of truth. He had Ellen G. White there with her mind blocked to guide them and give them a vision whenever they couldn't agree. The Adventist Church, friends, is not something that happened by chance. It's not something that grew gradually. Oh, I don't know. Maybe this afternoon I should read you some more things. This book says that it was a process of almost evolution that we finally got our doctrines together. That's what this book says. It says it was done by a committee. It says that Ellen G. White had nothing to do with our founding and our doctrines. Why? Because these men had told the brethren Barnhouse and Martin had told them that if Ellen G. White had had visions to found the Adventist Church, we were a cult. And they didn't want to be classified as a cult anymore. So this book denies our history, friends. It has rewritten the history. And I should say, well, this one denies our history. It rewrote it. It is amazing. I don't know. I just don't understand the Adventist Church membership. Today we have, I would say probably the majority of our millions of members don't even know what the church stands for. If you can find one of these, get it. If you have a CD-ROM and it's on it, read it. These are the original things, friends. God did not take a long time and have an evolutionary process in founding the Adventist Church, any more than he had an evolutionary process to create this world. Did it take him ages and ages to get things straightened up down here and gradually in working order? That's not the way God does things, friends. He didn't start a group of people. Now, there is a little bit of truth in the fact that the early Adventists did not all agree. But if you read this book and read early writings, you'll find out that the devil had his agents among the early Adventists, and they were making trouble. And Sister White was shown in vision who these people were. She condemned them. We've just been reading about some of them in Volume 1 of the Testimonies. I'll tell you, friends, I plead with you, get the testimonies and don't sit in front of a CD-ROM and read them there. Go out in the woods somewhere where it's quiet and where there's no lights and buzzing and you don't have to do all of this, and sit there quietly in God's great out-of-doors and read those books, and God will be with you and guide you and bless you, and you'll be prepared for the last day events. Well, it's time to quit. Do we have a closing song?